in Luke 13, and I'm going to have to move quick here, but Jesus comes upon a tree, and it wasn't bearing fruit, and he was ready to cut it down. The master was ready to chop it down because it hadn't been fruitful. And the guy says, wait, expose the roots. Let me dig around it and expose the roots to it and fertilize it. Basically, cover it with dung. Here's what the word just really spoke to me is if you want to have fruit in your lives, you need to get your roots exposed. All the false ones, everything you've built yourself on that's not Christ and His righteousness. And count it dung. Just cover it with dung. And then see if God doesn't bring fruit into your life. Dung it real good. Dig real deep in there and get right down to the roots and then put the dung on it. John the Baptist said a man can receive nothing unless it is given him from heaven. Quickly turn over to Jeremiah chapter 9. An interesting character, Jeremiah. Very difficult position God placed him in to be a true prophet in a day that he was about to pass his judgment on Israel and disperse the nation. And no one believed him because he spoke the truth. There were plenty of lying prophets around. But he ends this in chapter 9 after telling the children of Israel all the reasons why that God's judgment is coming. And if you read it, all it says is you're called out. You're my children. You're Israel, governed by God. And you're incorporating all the ways of the world. You're defining success in your life by how the world does it. I called you to be separate and sanctified and to walk differently so the world would look at you and see me, the glory of God, because I want to pour blessing on you. And you've adopted their ways. And he read in verse 23 and 24 of Jeremiah chapter 9, he finally goes, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man glory in his might, and let the rich man, nor the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Egypt, Judah, Edom, the people of Ammon, Moab, and all who are in the farthest corners who dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of David of Israel are uncircumcised in their heart. And God didn't see a difference, even though the outward was circumcised being the sign that they were God's children. They didn't do the circumcision inside. And so God counted them just as the uncircumcised. And so our glory, if we're going to glory, glory in the Lord is what Paul would tell the Corinthians. Now, we're going to skip to the resurrection and suffering next week. But you might want to consider that 50% of our Christian experience is walking in the power of the resurrection, and 50% is walking in the fellowship of His suffering. Sometimes we deny 50% of our relationship with Christ because we reject that part of it. Anyway, that's next week. Let me close with something here I really want to share with you guys. And this is what brought to life this lesson for me. And it's funny how it's always God at the last minute brings out the good wine, the Old Testament, to reinforce the spiritual lesson He wants us to walk away with today. Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin. That translates to a lot of things. For one, Saul, the first king of Israel, was of the tribe of Benjamin. But I want to take it way back, way back, because there was a time when Jacob and Rachel, and Rachel's last child, about to give birth to this last child, the 12th child, if you will, of the tribes of Israel, she died giving birth to that son. And she called him Benoni, means son of sorrow. And Israel, Jacob, governed by God, looked on him and says, "No, I call him Benjamin, son of my right hand." And the prophecy that went forth in the book of Genesis concerning Benjamin is that he would stand beside Judah in the days to come. When David, king of Israel, son of God, a type of Christ, passed on his blessing of God onto Solomon, his son, tribe of Judah, God told David, he said, "David, your blessing that I've put on your life, because you're a man after my own heart, even though Solomon goes the way of the world, I'm not going to visit my judgment on him. I'm going to pass over Solomon for you, David, and on Solomon's sons." You know that? When we look at Solomon outwardly in the world, we look at Solomon and think, wow, what blessing. Solomon rejected every counsel God gave in building the kingdom. God honored Solomon because of his promise to David. It was grace. It was grace. God can't lie. And as the only place Solomon is mentioned in the New Testament, Jesus says, you know, all his glory? Look at a flower. It's more awesome than that. A lily of the field. It's the only way he referred to him. I could say a lot about that. But Solomon had two sons, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And Judah, the tribe, the son of David, Jesus, if you will, the line through Judah. There's Jeroboam. And only one tribe, Benjamin, son of my right hand, stood with the son of David, Judah. And the other 10 tribes, all the rest, followed Rehoboam and dispersed and gave up on the line of David, the son of God, except Benjamin. And here is Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, tribe of Benjamin, gobbled up books more brilliant than any of the Pharisees or the Sanhedrin. Saul, big, he's apprehended by Jesus and changes his name to small, little. And he's the only one that stands with the Son of David, Jesus Christ. And the rest of the nation goes another direction. Are we willing, like Paul, to say, "Jesus, God, what you've done for me, that you've called me out and blessed me with eternal life and riches, even your spirit you would put into my heart. Will I stand with you? Will I count everything else as dung? And what you have given me, will I recognize you gave it to me? What can I do with what you've gave me to further your kingdom?" Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word this morning. May it be sobering to us today, Lord. And as we look at your word, Lord, we know that your sword cuts the flesh. And I feel cut, and maybe all of us do feel cut, Lord, our flesh cut on by your spirit, which is good. But let us rejoice in the Lord this morning, because our shortcomings were bought at the cross, paid for at the cross. And you can't love us any more than you already do. We thank you for that, Lord. And empower us to rejoice in you. Amen.